right. Thank you so much, Greg. Wonderful presentation, the video. And I like, interesting what missionaries said there, Henderson said, that they're training churches so that they can be self-sufficient with their own pastors, so the missionaries can move on to start a new church, and then that church there will begin to give money to support missions somewhere else. See how it all works together, and it's such a blessing to see. And especially when you know they're poorer nations, but their goal is to be able to have their money so they're able to give also. And so a wonderful, wonderful presentation there. Thank you, Greg, for working on that so much. So we are talking about making a difference. And as we sat down and talked about the new year, and of course, you know, we struggle a little bit financially. And, you know, one thing we talked about is the fact that we're not going to stop doing what we do. And we're going to encourage our folks to give and be faithful, because we like helping, we like supporting, we like making a difference in our world. And even after the close of the service today, right down the street here was a house that was burned down. A family lost their home. They had insurance, but they have deductibles and other things they have to pay for. At the close of the service, Pastor Tony is going to lead us into take an offering, if you have some you want to give, and then we're going to try to match it from our general fund so we can go down the street to neighbors and be able to give them a little help. Most importantly, give them encouragement from our church that we're your neighbor. And we know you're going through a tough time. I was 14 years old, and my home burned down, and I remember all of that, the traumatic things that take place. And so we're going to do that at the close of the service. I want to read some scriptures to you real quick here. And the first one is out of the book of Matthew, chapter number 28, verse 16 through 19. This is called the Great Commission. And this scripture simply says, the 11 disciples went to Galilee in the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. He said, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that's the Great Commission, to go into all nations, from America to the bordering states to across the pond, as Greg has said. But it is to go out and make disciples. Another passage of scripture, which Greg just read, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witnesses from Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And Greg was very, very good to say that that means local, that means regional, that means country, America, and that means also throughout the entire world. And then the last verse is one of my favorites. It always reminds me about being charitable to those that have needs. If anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciples, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. And keeps us reminded that when we continue to do what we do, you know, there's a tendency when churches face financial struggles, and we've been here 17 years, we've gone up and down, and we never worry. We trust God, we have faith, and we're not going to stop doing, because we know the principles. As we give of our overall income as a church that comes in, it's not just about the buildings and the staff or whatever, it's about what we can do. We know that God will always keep us strong and always care for us and bless our church. And so that's why we're going to talk about this today. And I called it today, Making a Difference, because I truly believe that's what it is. And sometimes we don't see the difference that we make. I've been in the ministry long enough now to where I watch some of the young people and children. I watch children that were in the nursery with my kids 40 years ago, now pastoring churches and doing the things they do. And I think to myself, I had a part into their lives. I invested some time into it. And every so often you get that message, someone thanking you for what you did in their life, the influence you had. And to me, it's making a difference. Making a difference in our community. Making a difference in our church, making a difference for people's lives here. One of our goals here is, when we speak, is to make a difference. When these folks set all this up, and it's a lot of work, it's to make a difference. And because I think we need to do that as a church. And so we have a mandate from God and a commission from God. And let me tell you, most importantly, it is an exciting thing to be a part of. When you give, and you give freely, and you help others. We have it broken down in two ways, or I do in my mind, is in my work, the outreach program, the mission work of the church is both locally and globally. And I first want to talk about locally. Locally is important. When I was raised, by the way, in a Baptist church, my father pastored, we didn't do a lot of charitable things around the community. I mean, we served in some organizations, but we really focused on foreign missions and only on planting new churches. As I grew into the ministry and started off with that mindset, just plant churches, I began to see great needs out there. You know, what really touched my heart one time is when someone approached me about a water project in a country where they had to travel 3 or 4 miles down to a river to get the water. And there was an organization that was planting wells in communities so they could have water right in their community. And my first instinct is to say, well, that's not what the church is about. We're planting churches. And God convicted me about that, because how can you show them the love of Jesus Christ if you're not showing them the love that you have for them? How can you want just only meet their spiritual needs if you're not willing to help out with their physical needs? And so I began to turn the table, began to turn the tide, to be partnering with organizations to do a lot of incredible things. Let me go through a list of things right now, and I'm going to use my iPad so I can keep track of where we're going. Let me give you some of the things over the past few years from 2015 that we've been involved in. On a local or regional level. The first one, our local Christmas gift to the kids in 2017 was $1,177. What we did last year, we adopted a number of families in East Windsor. We worked with social services. We asked them what needs are out there, and they gave us a list of family kids. We didn't know their names. We just knew that how many kids. One family, I think, had 5 children. And we raised the money, and then Judy Norris, I think she took it upon herself, maybe with a couple others, but mainly her, who runs our children's ministry, she went out on a shopping spree. Now, I don't know about you, she probably had a blast doing that, okay? She had a list of what the kids were wanting, and we tried our best to fit that. And then she got everything gathered here, and on one Sunday afternoon, the leaders met. We set up tables in the other room, and anybody else that wanted to help, and we started bagging or wrapping these things. I'm not a good wrapper. My idea of giving a gift is usually put it in one of those bags with a little bit of that paper stuff or whatever. That's about as good as I do wrapping. And then they delivered them to the social services to be distributed to those families. But I was so proud of our church, because in a matter of a 3 or 4 week time, we raised almost $1,200 to be able to take care of some kids locally. And we don't know their names. And we really never heard from them. We get a letter from the social services thanking us for what we did. But you know what? I don't care. We did something to families that did not have it. They were going through different times. They were maybe involved in DCF. There was maybe a marriage breakup. Maybe the job. I think one of the family had cancer or sicknesses. We knew details, but it was made us feel so good that we were able to help. And they don't know our names. I mean, they do know Cornerstone Church helped, but they don't know any of our individuals. But collectively, we did almost $1,200. Loaves and Fishes Soup Kitchen. In the last 3 years, we have contributed close to $4,000, not only in the serving the meals and stuff, but other things that we do for them. And that's not including the separate things that some of us do ourselves when they have their annual fundraising. Today, we're going to feed the folks that come in, and we pay for the food. We do all the service. We do all this. Kelly does a wonderful job with this. And it's a great joy to be able to do this. And Kelly, who handles a lot of this, she also is involved personally running fundraisers. You had one a couple weeks ago at Red Robin for the soup kitchen, and you got another one coming up for the Sisters of the Poor, is it? You already did it? I'm missing out, because the last few weeks I haven't been in town a lot, so because the work at the Capitol. But the thing about it is that she's doing so much on her own, and it's still a testimony to us, because it's on our leaders doing that. But Loaves and Fishes Soup Kitchen, and $4,000. The next one is the Enfield Fire Victims. This was 2014. We were able to give them $668. And then there was one before then that the house, you did the fundraiser a couple years before that, and we had the fundraiser brought in how much money? Was that $7,000. That was back, I think, in 2012 we did. And so some have insurances and some don't. We try to make a gesture, especially when it's a neighbor down the road. We want to make a gesture, but sometimes they have nothing. I think it was a 3-family home, and they lost so much and no insurance, and so we did our best to help them and come alongside. The next slide, the next point on here is hurricane relief match in 2017. When a hurricane has happened, we partner many times with Samaritan's Purse, which does a lot of things throughout the world, feed the needy and folks out there. And we were able at that day, one Sunday, to raise almost $1,000 to partner with them with other churches and ministries around the country to raise millions of dollars for hurricane relief when it came across there. The next one is Five Corner Corner Cupboard. This is the East Windsor Food Bank, and it's maybe simple to you, but a couple weeks ago they put out a plea they needed diapers. And so Greg Bilodeau and Kathy Bilodeau, who live here in East Windsor, let us know, and we just said, you know, what do they need? And so we spent $200 and got them diapers for their clients there. The next one is CD player for hospice. I'm sure some of these are very small. Let me tell you something. Greg Bilodeau, who just presented to us here, he works as a chaplain for Bay State Hospital. He's an ordained minister. And he deals many times with folks that are going through bereavement. He's conducted some funerals because of his relationship there. He has to be non-denominational and those kind of things there, but he does a great job. And he came to us in one of our leaders' meetings and says one thing they like is to have music playing to kind of soothe those that are going through terminal illnesses. And we asked, well, what do they need? They need three CD players so they could have, I think it was three, wasn't it? Three or four, and so we said, go get them and turn in a receipt. We're buying the tape players, their CD players, so they can have music to enjoy when they're going through that difficult time. InfoHua, and go back on the screen here. We're missing that. InfoHua, there it is, at the bottom there, $300. Now, you may not know what this is about. Every year, this organization in Enfield is there to support veterans around the world, veterans and active military personnel around the world. And every November, they do a Cookies for Camouflage. And people come together. I think Dawn made cookies last time. And people come in. And we go over there after church service when they're putting all these boxes together. And we give a check to help pay for postage. And I think one year before this, I think we gave like $1,200. We gave $300 because other folks are contributing now to help mail out these gifts and things to those that are in active military, so they have something from their hometown of Enfield. And we always enjoy being a part of that. The next one is Enfield Rotary. Now, you may say, Rotary? Why are we giving money to Rotary? I've been a part of the Enfield Rotary for about 12 years. I was the president of the Enfield Rotary up until last year. And I enjoyed my service there, being the leader of that organization. And we give to Rotary because they give scholarships to students, but most importantly is they have what they have is water projects around the world. Guatemalan Water Project is the one we're working with right now, and we basically collect money and to be able to help these projects around the globe. And one of the ones that hit my heart was our money goes to many things in a general fund. But, you know, as part of the as a Rotarian, we have given money out to educational scholarships for students in the community. We've given to water projects. We give to Polio Plus, which is back in the last 30 years, polio was a bad situation some years ago. Now only 1% of the world has polio, and Rotary has been the reason why. And Bill Gates partnered with us years ago to give millions of dollars to give polio vaccines to needy areas. But that was what brought on the water project, because a lot of times the reason why polio is so prevalent is because of the water they're drinking. So one of the reasons why Rotary went into the water projects was because we know if you can't just give the immunization, you got to start fixing the problem. And so that was the water project. So in the last few years, we've given $1,200. We do it through different events. For instance, the Enfield Rotary has their 5K race, which we sponsored this year. They have different organizations. By the way, if you want to run 5K race coming up on March 5th, we get three entries free if you want to do that because we sponsor. So Tony, you going to run? You put your hand up?
May 5th.
I'm sorry, what did I say? May 5th. So if you'd like to run a race, I ran the Enfield Rotary 5K 2 years ago. I trained for 58 years to do it, and then I lost all the weight, and my goal was to run the race in 45 minutes. I ran it in 38 minutes, and they said, hey, you're going to run another one? I said, nope, one and done. I wanted to do it, and now I'm retired from running races, but it was a joy to be there. So the next is Enfield Little League. This is simple, but they were looking for sponsors. It was great for us because our name of our church was on the back of one of the teams. And I loved it when all the parents were sending me pictures on Facebook with our church name on the back of their jerseys. We supported them. Enfield Public School Kids Events, $600. What this is every year there's a fall festival on the town green where kids come in a safe environment. And there had to be probably 3,000 kids that came down to the town green. And we help sponsor. We have our banner out there. We hand out candy. We do things, a lot of things they do. I've been a judge of the pumpkin carving contest, and we give that right to the Enfield Public School. 4th of July town celebration. You may say, if you're new here, you may not know about this. It's the largest event in the region. This year is going July 6th, 7th, and 8th. This organization puts on a wonderful 4th of July celebration event on the town green in Enfield. If you're new to Enfield, this is going to be a big event. But it's a family event. And what we do every year, we give money to sponsor the teen zone, substance-free teen zone, a place where kids can go where it's all free of alcohol, all that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of events for them, from soccer tournaments to a battle of the bands. And we're one of the sponsors for the teen events, so they can have a wonderful time. They have children's events. Of course, every night they have concerts. This year, if you know, the band Lone Star will be there on Saturday night. And one of the things about us is our church, I'm so proud of our church, we have our membership doesn't just give their time here to Cornerstone. We get involved. And there are four of us right here on the board of directors for that event. Myself, I do the marketing. Tim Dickinson back there, who's doing our sound, does the entertainment. Rick does the entertainment, my son-in-law, and then Tony does volunteers. And so four of us are directors of that event, and it's an exhausting because last year from Thursday setup to Monday takedown, I put over 75 miles on my Fitbit walking around because you got 15, 20,000 people and you're trying to manage this big event there. But we sponsor the Teen Zone because we feel it's important to show our support for places that teens can go without having troubles. Let me go through the next part. The next one, and that brings in a total, by the way, of $10,774 since 2015. Quickly over to global, what we do globally. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because Greg did a wonderful job and the video from Tanzania was wonderful. But since 2015, we've given Bill Crawford, Germany, and Royce Vick from Mexico $5,800 plus almost $6,000 to help them support their ministry. Broken Chains Church, which is a biker church in Massachusetts, and they've been here. We give $700, and then $500 was last summer's mission trip. They went across the country evangelizing bikers, and those are part of bikers' clubs. And it's a wonderful ministry of what they do. Dell Peterson was mentioned. Dell is a great friend of mine. I've known him all my life. We've given him $2,800 the last few years. Missionary to England doing there. My father, Gerald Stokes, we've supported him, and he retired from pastoring. He's an author of many books, commentaries. He travels and speaks, and he's been part of our church. He was the one that was our moderating organizer to start our church 17 years ago, and I've appreciated the church supporting him. My mother died some 15 years ago. And just recently, my stepmother, my dad married a couple years later when he was in his 70s to a wonderful lady, and she passed away a few months ago. And pray because her burial at Arlington National Cemetery is a week from this coming Wednesday. And dad's traveling there now. He's in Indiana right now with my brother. And just pray for him because he's very emotional about this. I can't go because of obligations in Hartford. My wife may go, but I just pray for Dad because he's seeking to serve God until the end of his days. He was here a few months ago speaking for us, did a wonderful job. My dad never opened up the Bible he had in front of him, and I think he quoted over 35 to 38 verses in the entire message from memory, and he's in his upper 80s. So I was pretty impressed with that. I really was. I wish I could do that. The Hendersons, we've given them $2,800 over the last few years. And a total since 2015 for our foreign missions is $14,910. And we're a small church. We have, you know, everybody says, do you have an ambition to be a large church? I have ambition to be a good church. Numbers are great because it's fun to speak to numbers. When there's more people, you can accomplish more. But the bottom line is, it isn't about the numbers in the seats. It's about the heart of the people in the seats. And we've had a great heart to be able to minister to our community and to our world. And a total between all the last 3 years, we've given almost $26,000 outside of our ministry here. Small amounts and large amounts. And even years before, though, we've always been a giving church. And this is what happens when you give during the week. Yes, we rent the building. There is staff here. We're very conscious. Our trustees are very good. This last year, I did not take a raise. I made sure Tony got a raise this year because I want to make sure that we're honorable with those things there. We're very frugal with our money, and it's a blessing to be able to do the things that we're doing. We don't have a lot of overhead, so it doesn't take a great deal to run this. I said a little while ago, we're under budget somewhat right now, and that's common during the wintertime. We're praying that folks see some of this and say, you know, I'm going to start giving more, I'm going to start tithing. Our leadership does, you know, part of it is we want to set an example for you, is my wife and I, we give every week. We try to be, I don't know if we're one of the top givers, but we give more than 10% because I know what we make and I know what I write every week. I actually started giving what I give years ago, hoping I'd make that. And we still enjoy giving because we love our church. And even though I'm pastor, we do contribute. And my wife's a blessing because she makes twice as much as I do. So she's the big giver in our family. I'm a kept man. I look forward to retiring one day, and I'll be a kept man. I don't mind. I'll make dinner, honey. What do you want? Okay, and I'll watch. Some of those afternoon shows are real good ones. So, but $25,000, $26,000. So let me give you some principles that I wanted to share with you that I've had from the beginning, okay, about missions when it comes to this. And this is what I want you to know why we do. You may say, well, why don't we do some of the stuff ourselves? Why don't we have our own soup kitchen or food bank or whatever? And by the way, we do give money to the food shelf here in Enfield. There's a food shelf on Alden Avenue. I don't know if some of you know where that is. They supply foods. That's where you go in, do a little grocery shopping. And I'm proud of my wife. She's on the board of directors. And in a few months, she will be the new chairman of the board. And they've asked me to join the board as if I have nothing else to do. Me being on the board with my wife being the chairman, I don't know how that would work, the switching of roles there. So, yeah, I know. I will be obedient to her. She's a smart lady and has a heart for that. And she started out as a volunteer. She would go there on Thursdays and help hand out food. They said, why'd you join the board? She goes, I'm not a board person. I'm a service person. Well, we need you on the board. And now she's. I'm very proud of her. I really am. So you can see that. So three principles that I have. First one is, if we can't go, we give so others can. We're not asking you to go to Tanzania. We're not asking you to go to Mexico. We're not asking you to go to Great Britain. We're not asking you to get on a motorcycle, ride across country, and try to evangelize those in motorcycle clubs. But since we're not doing that, our obligation is to send those that do go. It's a responsibility we have. And you know what it is? It's even exciting. There's no greater joy than to see reports from people and see reports from ministries and Broken Chain where people are getting saved and people are getting baptized and lives are being changed. And even though they don't know who we are at Cornerstone, we know we had something in that. And I really believe I can't go to the mission field. I'd have a hard time learning a new language. They usually don't approve missionaries go to mission fields over the age of 35 for the difficulty of learning new languages. To me, though, if we can't go, it's a joy in sending. So if we can't go, we give so others can. Second principle I live by here, don't duplicate what others are doing. I've seen churches grow and they say, well, we need to have our own soup kitchen. We need to have our own clothing bank. We need to have our own food shelf. We need to do this and this. Here's the thing. If someone in your community is doing it already and they're doing it well, instead of trying to duplicate it so you have this pat on your back, we have all these ministries, give to those organizations who are working so hard to do it already. So the reason why we wouldn't have a soup kitchen even when we build a building is because we will support the soup kitchens in local communities. Food shelf, the same thing, because they need the assistance. In fact, we need to pool ourselves together and come together as a community. Clothing drives. Right now, this week, there's always a thing in Hartford where there's bring your old suits to one location, and they will cleaners donate their time, and give them to veterans that are wanting to get new suits so they can apply for jobs. And as you know, I have different sizes of suits over the last few years. So I went from the 46 waist down to the 34 waist in the last 3 years. So I have all these suits, and so I've gone through them at times and taken my suits that I can't wear anymore and given to them. But I wouldn't have a suit drive here. I would look up who's having a suit drive for veterans. If somebody says, well, we want to do some things to help fix and repair some homes. Well, before we come together, let's find out if we can partner with an organization who's already doing it. Because to me, let's support the strength out there So don't duplicate what others are doing. And third principle is, giving allows us to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. And that's a big part of it. The soup kitchen, the letter I saw the other day, I think it says something that they feed, I'm trying to think how many meals a year, 13, 14,000 meals a year. The food shelf takes care of 600 or 700 families per week in Enfield and surrounding areas. And although we don't have all that, we know we're part of something bigger. And we love helping them out. Recently, when we had that Fill the Humvee drive that I did through my staff, it was interesting that there were homeless veterans living down by the river and behind ShopRite in Enfield. So some folks gave those big warm boots and coats, and we made sure we set them aside so that the folks in social service could walk them down and give them warm clothing that would provide it to people who came. And so we know there's homeless people that are living down by the river cold, and we took care of them. If you give a cold cup of water in my name, you will not lose your reward. And so giving allows us to be part of something bigger than ourselves. So Cornerstone is not the largest church in the community, not the smallest church in the community. Cornerstone came along out of a vision 17 years ago. It's been an up-and-down struggle. We've gone through ups and downs. I mean, churches are challenging. And tell you something, this is not a society today that looks like going to church is an important thing. People have come and gone. But let me say this. People can come and go. We can stay this size. We can grow. We can go down. But as long as we are in existence and I'm the pastor, we will never step back from doing what we can outside these doors. Because the moment we lose the vision for outside the doors, we no longer are the church that God intended us to be. And the church, listen to this, the church is the only organization created by God, the only organization that has a sole purpose of benefiting people who do not attend. Everybody else in organizations, they want you to make an obligation. We give away and do things for people we will never meet, and we never obligate them to come here. If we, to me, it's sometimes we just do it without even recognition. And we do that inside the church with people that go through struggles here too. We're the only organization I know of the sole purpose is to benefit the people who do not attend. And that's okay. But see, if you're part of Cornerstone, you have a responsibility, and it should be a privilege to attend. My greatest frustration sometimes is that we got people that are part of Cornerstone that every so often they'll see something on Facebook and goes, I didn't know we were doing this. I didn't hear about that. And they say, you should have put something out about it. And part of me wants to say, you should be a church. You know, you want me to go out and make all this. Now, bottom line is we meet on Sundays. You're not going to be here every Sunday, and that's fine. There's a lot of other things people do. But if this is your church and you're finding out stuff through social media, what we're doing or what's going on with our lives, that's not my fault. That's your fault. Because every Sunday we come in trying to keep you informed of what we're doing. And we want folks to be a part of it because we want life-breathing people serving God. Let me give you the walk away. And I believe this was a statement by Winston Churchill, one of my favorite speakers and authors and, of course, leader. We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. And I will tell you this. It's all perspective. I've seen people who focus so much on what they get. And I'm going to give you something from psychology because a little bit of education I got. When you're always thinking about what you're getting or what you're lacking in, you will always be depressed. Because it's never going to be enough. I've seen people constantly worried and constantly down and comparing themselves to everybody else. And we just had a little more and had a little more and had a little more. And I think about that church in Tanzania with people that hardly have anything. And one of their goals is so they grow enough church so that those people can give to missions, give away money. And they probably live on $400 a year. But people in our country and America culture who own $500 cell phones, pay $200 a month for cable, and they can't serve God and give anything to help support the cause. And they're miserable because it's never enough. Let me give you a little advice here. If you live your life on what you have in your bank account and what you have in your life about what you can do for others, you're never going to be discouraged. And God will take care of you so that you can be a conduit. Let me think about this. You know what is God's purpose? Is to have us go out to the whole world. So if God has told us to do that, do you think he would rob us of the resources to do it? No, why would he tell us to do something and then not give us the resources? So if you want to be blessed in your house and you keep saying, we don't have enough and everybody's miserable and we're arguing all the time or whatever, you're focused so much about what's going in the account, every so often, write a check, whether to your church, do something for somebody that owes you nothing. Owes you nothing. And I love my wife and our relationship because we both have the same idea of money. And so I was, it was so funny because the Riley Dance Studio in Enfield, and I'm just going to share this with you, is they have a scholarship fund. And they give scholarships out to kids leaving high school. Some good ones. One of the scholarships was named after our niece who passed away, liver failure at 19 years old a few years back. So they were looking for sponsors for their golf tournament so they could raise some money to give scholarships to worthy kids, seniors in high school, and all the communities around us, not just Enfield. So I said I'll drop by a $100 check and help sponsor something there. And I even forgot to tell Dawn. We were talking, I said, oh, by the way, I said, and here's a good thing. We never, if I went out and bought something brand new for myself, she'd yell at me. Hey, honey, I bought a brand new bass guitar. I'm going to learn it. Oh, no, you're not. But anytime we do anything for giving to others, it's never a question why. It's like, okay. See, because it's more joyous to give than it is to receive. And I share that with you not to boast. I share that with you to say, listen, guys and gals here, and I'm old enough to understand a principle. If you live your life about what you can do for your fellow brother and sister and for mankind, your checkbook won't be about what's going in. It'll be going out what you do. At the end of the year, if you can list on your taxes that you gave 10% of your income to church and charities and everything else, you're going to feel so good knowing that God blessed you. And God will then increase because God wants you to be a conduit for giving. He sees you are faithful over little things. He'll make you faithful over big things. That's a scripture, by the way. You're faithful over little things. I'll make you faithful over great things. You know why some people have little bank accounts? Is because they're not faithful over little things, so it's not going to grow to be faithful over greater things. I believe that all my heart because we live it. But here at the church, we give you a place to work through to give to organizations, to missionaries, and things that we're doing. And by the way, what's not on that slide is when some of our membership have gone through some rough times. And that will never be on there. But in the last probably 3 years, probably $4,000 or $5,000 internally, when somebody's going, they needed oil, got laid off, whatever it may be, trustees talk email, get my input, and then they decide. And Pastor Tony and I are consultants, but our financial matters are handled by our trustees. And with my input, and sometimes they don't take it, and that's fine, but I trust them. But I'm so blessed that we have men and women. Kelly's a trustee, and Tom's the chairman of the trustees, and Greg. And to me, we're so blessed, and Tim in the back, that we're givers. But I think these folks are already givers themselves, so they like doing that. So, all right, so our walk away, we make a living by what we make or get, and we make a life by what we give. Every head bowed, every eye closed in just a moment. We're going to close out here. And then Pastor Tony's going to come, and we're going to talk about the National Day of Prayer, and then receive a small, who knows, it may not be small. Maybe I'll motivate you for the folks down the street that lost their home. And it's not because they don't have insurance, because they do, but it's because they have deductibles, they have expenses beyond that. But let's be honest about it. We're their neighbor. They're right down the street. You can, when you leave here, you can turn right and drive down the street and see the burned out house. And people just lost everything. So we're going to do something in just a minute. I hope this has been an eye-opener. I hope you've appreciated your church more now, understanding that we do have missionaries, and we've invited every one of them when they're back in the U.S. to come visit us. They have a number of churches around the country that are supporting them. And collectively, all these churches together allow them to go, and they cannot earn livings on the foreign country they're in. They can't get jobs there because that's usually not allowed. So everything they do is supported by churches in America. So I want to say on their behalf, thank you, Cornerstone, for what you've done and what you're going to do. Father, we ask you to bless. We thank you, Lord, for this time together. We thank you for the report that Greg gave. We thank you, Lord, for just this church. We pray, Lord, you grow us in our faith to give more. We ask in Christ's name.